Good evening. Thank you. Thank you, thank you very much for the opportunity to serve tonight. I'm deeply, deeply humbled. I'm humbled, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. Thank you very much. For just a minute, I'll tell you a little bit about me, because I know we have visitors, and I know there's a lot of people online watching. My name's Charlie Andrews. I'm 39 years old. I became a Christian 21 years ago yesterday. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was baptized for the remission of my sins at the Church of Christ in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I'm currently a member of the Choctaw Church of Christ. I've been serving here in different ways for several years now. A few months ago, with the encouragement of my family and friends, I applied for a position with BibleTalk.tv as their new audiobook narrator, and I got the job. I'm proud to say that I've recorded 5 complete audiobooks to date: Leviticus for Beginners, Stress Busters, How to Love Someone You Hate, The Spirit and the Cross, and 10 Steps to the New Spiritual You. I'm also happy to say that there are more audiobooks on the way. Thanks to your generosity, all of these and so much more are available on BibleTalk.tv. And Mike Mazzalongo and Hal Gatewood, they like to call me the voice of Bible Talk. It makes me very, very proud and moderately uncomfortable. This has been challenging and very fulfilling work. Never done anything like this before. I'm happier professionally and spiritually than I've ever been. And as an indirect result of this work, I've gone from spending maybe a few minutes a week reading the Bible, you know, when I had the time, when I could fit it in. And now I'm studying Scripture several hours a day so that I can pronounce certain words properly and learn histories. And it's absolutely changing my life. But enough about me. If I may, I'd like to talk to you about Gideon today. This is what he looked like, according to Google. More specifically, I'd like to talk to you about Gideon's struggle with doubt. It's something that I believe we all share with him from time to time, certainly myself included. I'd like to read a portion of Gideon's story with you. I'd like to tell you about my Gideon moment. And at the end of the lesson, I'd like to share a Gideon moment with all of you. Feel free to turn with me to Judges chapter 6, but it will be on the screen if you need it. Once again, the people of Israel are in trouble. God has decided to punish them for their disobedience in a different way than he did with the Egyptians back in Exodus. Instead of being enslaved and forced into a foreign land, the Israelites are now under constant threat of terrorist attack on their own land. Let's read in Judges 6, 1 through 6. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord handed them over to Midian for 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the people of the east and march against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, nor a sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts in number, and both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to ruin it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. A little later on, in Judges 6, 7 through 10, an unnamed prophet of God is sent to tell the people that while they had nothing to fear from their neighbors, as long as they obeyed God, now that they were no longer obeying God, they were going to be punished by those same neighbors. Thankfully, God had a plan to use Gideon to restore their nation and their faith in him. We continue in verses 11 through 16, and we witness what I'm calling the Gideon moment. The moment Gideon receives his calling directly from our Creator. Let's read in Judges 6. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did the Lord not bring you up from Israel? Did the Lord not bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" But he said to him, "O Lord, how am I to save Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house." Yet the Lord said to him, "I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man." There it is. The angel of the Lord descended upon Gideon and gave him his calling. God sent his angel to tell Gideon that he would be used to free the people. Gideon is clearly full of doubt in these verses, both in himself and the Lord. In verse 15, Gideon tells the Lord that he is not qualified to lead because he isn't a descendant of a powerful family. And just in case that isn't a good enough reason, oh, also, he's too young for the task. Don't pick me. God, of course, already knows all of these things. In verse 16, God does not say, "You can defeat Midian if you want to." God says, "You will defeat Midian." I love this passage because I believe God is giving Gideon certainty. Another word for this might be a guarantee. It's confession time. I've craved this kind of certainty my entire life. Working with BibleTalkTV.tv might be the best job I've ever had. But it's certainly not my first job. Something I'm not proud to admit to everyone tonight is that I've struggled with employment my entire adult life. I'm sure many of you know someone who has moved from job to job every few months or years for as long as you've known them. That's me. Here's a short list of some of the jobs I've taken, and these are in no particular order. Fast food worker, shift manager, retail worker, custodian, restaurant custodian, convenience store crew member, convenience store manager, construction worker, taxi driver, school bus driver, assembly line worker, call center employee, computer repairman, furniture assembler, support group facilitator, and many, many more. I have worked in offices, cubicles, federal buildings, restaurants, stores, gas stations, factories, warehouses, on the side of highways, in forests, and in open fields. I have worked in, under, and on top of buildings and vehicles. I've helped build homes. I've helped demolish them. My brother once told me that I've had so many jobs that at one point or another, I have been all the village people. Now, all joking aside, I can honestly say I have tried to turn almost every job I've ever had into something I could retire from. And in many years of working as hard as I can, I've never been able to turn any of them into a long-term career. Sometimes there were layoffs, or downsizing, or injuries, both mild and severe. Or I had to move away. Or the business that I'm working for goes under. And let's be honest, some of those jobs I wasn't very good at. But there was always some obstacle that would send me back to the unemployment line. I felt like a failure at the end point of every job. I felt defeated. I lost sleep over it. I've wept over it. I've gone into debt over it. And at times, I've lost faith over it. That's why I was so excited for Gideon the first time that I read this. I wanted this moment, this Gideon moment, my entire life. For as long as I've been a Christian, and even before, I have selfishly wanted to see a literal, physical angel from the Lord descend from heaven. I want to hear the voice of Almighty God audibly tell me exactly what he wants me to do with my life. You see, I started to doubt my ability to keep any job. I had doubt in my ability to serve, and because of that, I had doubt in his ability to use me. I was so tired of trying and failing at so many different occupations. I was so tired of struggling. I wanted the confidence that came from a direct command from the king. I had failed so many times that I no longer saw the point in trying. I wanted God to tell me exactly what to do. And I wanted his command to be so blindingly obvious that I couldn't possibly misinterpret it. I didn't even care what God told me to do. I just wanted him to tell me to do it, to do anything. If I had received this gift that Gideon had just received, I would have fallen on my face to worship my Father in heaven. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for telling me exactly what you want me to do. But that's not what Gideon did. Let's continue on, reading in verse 17 here. So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then perform for me a sign that it is you speaking with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Gideon still wasn't satisfied and requested proof that he was speaking with the one true God. And the first time I read this, my jaw was on the floor. The audacity, the sheer insanity of asking God for a sign when the sign was literally right in front of him. It seems about as smart as kicking a hornet's nest. But God was incredibly patient and kind with Gideon. He not only waits for Gideon to return with an offering, but in verse 21, he consumes that offering with holy fire right in front of Gideon. God could have consumed Gideon with the same fire if he had wanted to. But that was not part of the plan. If God had killed Gideon right then and there for doubting him, he certainly could have found somebody else to free his people. But like I said, that wasn't the Lord's will. He wanted to do it this way. In verse 24, after seeing the flames and feeling the heat of God's fire on his face, he finally comes to his senses and builds an altar on that very spot. And he calls it, "The Lord is Peace," which I think is very appropriate, considering how kind God was to him during this whole experience. Surely, after witnessing this miracle, Gideon would never doubt the Lord again. After following God's command to tear down an altar to the false god Baal, which he did in the cover of night because he feared the people, Gideon still doubted himself and God's ability to use him. He asked for even more signs. Gideon even had the boldness to request the type of miracles to be performed specifically asking God to show his complete control of the elements that he created, in this case, water. Let's read. Then Gideon said to God, "If you're going to save Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I am putting a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel through me, as you have spoken." And it was so. When he got up early the next morning and wrung out the fleece, he wrung the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not let your anger burn against me, so that I may speak only one more time. Please, let me put you to the test only one more time with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on the dry ground." And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. Once again, my jaw was on the floor. Once again, God showed incredible patience and kindness with Gideon by not only honoring his request, but also using Gideon to bring peace to the nation of Israel in chapters 7 and 8, a peace which lasted 40 years, 1 year longer than I've been alive. You can take many things from this devotional. There's one main point I'm trying to make. Despite Gideon's doubt, despite Gideon's lack of faith, God was patient with him and incredibly kind to him. Gideon doubted God so much that he asked him to wait for him, and Almighty God waited for him. Moses doubted his own abilities, and in doing so doubted God's ability to use him, but God never gave up on him. Thomas was crushed by the loss of his teacher and his friend. He didn't believe Jesus had returned from the dead, despite being told by Jesus himself multiple times that this would happen. When Jesus returned, he allowed Thomas to feel his wounds with his bare hands to remove all doubt. And he didn't just do that for Thomas. He made sure that it was written down for all time, for you and for me and for all of us to see. No spectacle, no thunder or lightning bolts, no pillars of salt, no plagues, no instant death for their doubt. Instead, God showed them an indescribable amount of patience and kindness. He waited for them to be ready. He waits for us also. If I may, I'd like to take just a moment and tell you about my personal Gideon moment. This was a few months ago. I was visiting with Mike Mazzalongo in the Bible Talk studio, just right down the hall, and I was heartbroken. I lacked confidence. I lacked direction. I'd lost another job, a job I cared for very deeply, and I felt like a failure once again. Mike, he didn't offer me any advice. He looked at me and he said very gently, "What do you want to do with your life?" Well, I was in the studio and I looked in the far corner of the studio where I have my little microphone, my little laptop where I've been working and recording audiobooks, and with tears in my eyes, I pointed at the desk. And I said, I want to do that. I think I can serve the Lord by doing that. I just wish that I had a sign." At that exact moment, I couldn't make it up. This is 100%. John Arvin, our former associate minister, who was in no way a part of this conversation, knocked on the studio door. I opened the door for him. I was clearly a mess. And John looked at me, said, "Charlie? Hey, I was hoping you could do a scripture reading for us for the Thanksgiving service. We think you do a really good job reading the Bible." I immediately sat down. Because if I hadn't sat down, I would have fallen down. I started to laugh. Tears of joy dripped down into my hands. And Mike looked at me and he smiled and he said, I swear I didn't plan this. John Arvin looked extremely confused. Did I interrupt something? He said. That was my Gideon moment. My Gideon moment was not what I asked for. God doesn't do things the way we expect him to do them. It wasn't the mighty spectacle that I so desperately sought. There was no thunder or lightning. There was no fire from heaven. God does not speak to us that way anymore. My Gideon moment arrived after many years of struggle and failure. And I can't stress this enough. I don't believe that my Gideon moment was some kind of prophecy or divine intervention. That's what I had wanted. That's not what the Lord wanted me to have. Instead, what I got was a small coincidence that led me to the realization that no matter what job I have, the Lord will continue to use me until he's ready to take me home. He might use me more effectively if I try to improve my skills, and I intend to do just that as quickly as I can. But God will still use me either way. I don't know in what way I will be serving the Lord in 10 years or next year or next week. I don't know the future. I can't remember how many jobs I've had. I don't know how many more jobs I will have. And that's okay. Because my job is to serve. What I do know is that no matter what I do, just like Gideon, I'm part of the plan. I'm part of his plan. We're at the end of this devotional. Before I go, I'd like to try and provide some application for all of us. This is what I hope everyone takes away from this devotional. In verse 16, it said, "Yet the Lord said to him, 'I will certainly be with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man.'" What happened to Gideon probably won't happen to you or me. You may doubt that the Lord is using you effectively. Maybe after your 1,000th failure, you will doubt that the Lord can use you at all. You may, just as I did, want a literal physical sign from God confirming that your chosen path is the correct one. Maybe, just as I did, you want God to forcibly remove your doubt. If that's the case, I'd like to share a Gideon moment with all of you right now. I can't offer you a great spectacle or a miracle, but I do have what God gave Gideon in verse 16. I have some words of encouragement. You might doubt this and you might not, but I know the Choctaw Church of Christ serves the Lord. You serve the Lord individually. You are serving the entire world with your generous support of so many outreach ministries, our youth group, the future of this building, the future of the world. Meals on Wednesday, World Bible School, with love from Choctaw, BibleTalk.tv, multiple Bible study groups for men and women of all ages, and many, many more. I tried to compile a list of all the amazing things we do here. I couldn't do it because there's so many. You are serving me right now by giving me the opportunity to speak. You took a big risk on me tonight. And I'm learning and growing because of you, and I'm deeply thankful. Please never forget that God is with us. When, where, and how we serve will change over time. But he will be patient and kind with us while we figure it all out. And I believe he will convict us and encourage us with his presence and his words just as he did for Gideon. There is no formal invitation this evening. However, if you're struggling with anything at all, you are always welcome to come forward. If I'm not able to help you, I can introduce you to so many wonderful people here who can. The water's ready. I checked it this morning. It's warm. It's full. If you want to learn the truth, please, please come forward tonight. And if you just want to talk, if you just want to pray, please come forward tonight, or find me after, or find anyone here after. We love you. We are here for you as we stand and sing.